from Gordon Chang, we go right to Alan Tunnelson, who independently is our critic of manufacturing and the supply chain at Reality Check. Alan, the Long Beach and Los Angeles ports, they're broken. The supply chain is broken. Christmas is gone. The container ships cannot unload. There are not enough trucks to take it anyway. And the doubt is, will it be fixed by 2022, maybe 2023? The puzzle, is this decoupling? Is that what we're witnessing, America getting used to, not so much China?
John, if it's not decoupling already, it certainly should be. And the main reason is that as you look back on the last few years of U.S.-China relations, and if you look back at the last few years of various events that and developments that have been taking place inside China, it's very hard to avoid the conclusion that when it comes to China and maintaining supply chains, it's going to be one thing after another. You've either got the Chinese government bullying U.S. corporations, you've either got the Chinese government basically responding to every single outbreak of the coronavirus by shutting down enormous chunks of its whole economy, including major ports. And of course, recently you've had the Chinese energy crisis, and I'm sure Gordon would add that the Chinese property bubble that seems to be in real danger of bursting in the near future could well cast a real pall over China's future growth prospects. So all of these signs indicate that doing more and more business with China in the years ahead is going to be a real losing proposition for many, many Americans, indeed for the whole economy.
Gordon, you have a question for our friend Alan.
Alan, in your most recent post at Reality Check, you talk about the results of a survey of AmCham Shanghai, basically American companies. And this survey, which was conducted between the middle of June and the middle of July, had some really surprising results. Can you talk about them?
Gordon, I was absolutely gobsmacked by this. And maybe it's a function of these companies talking their book, putting up a brave front. But this survey, which had more than 330 respondent companies, made it very clear that that about 80% of these firms, big American companies operating in China, engaged in various kinds of activities, manufacturing for export, providing services for the Chinese market, providing goods for the Chinese market, often doing all three. As far as these companies are concerned, it's not only full steam ahead, but they have recovered basically all of the earnings that they might have lost during Trump's trade war. And they express tremendous optimism about their future prospects in China, including earning revenues, including expansion. And this really cuts against the whole grain of this decoupling narrative that I think has enjoyed great credibility for very deserved reasons for quite a few years now. But again, to hear it from these U.S. owned companies operating in China, it ain't so.
Alan, there's a loss of trust. There's no reason to trust the Chinese vendors that they will get you your materials, your resources, your chips in time or at all. That did not exist 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Is that geopolitics or is that just us being practical-minded people? When we put our money down, we want results.
Well, we certainly deserve results, but we should have learned long, long ago that there is no reason to trust any information coming out of China, even from the so-called private companies, which are, after all, nothing like private companies in the non-Chinese world, because they are completely under the thumb of the Chinese regime whenever the Chinese regime sees fit. And I would not be surprised if they were engaged in something of an active misinformation campaign on this score.
And by that, you mean they'll say shipping in 15 to 17 days and it never shows up. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. And by the way, let's be very clear. U.S. companies operating in this country have often pulled the exact same scam. And I'll give you just one personal anecdote. This past spring, my wife and I ordered a GE refrigerator from Sears, mainly because Sears, the local Sears warehouse near us, said they had it in stock. We finally got the fridge 4 months later.
Gordon?
Alan, there are now something like a record 83 container ships off the port of Long Beach waiting to be unloaded. I heard that Governor DeSantis of Florida has said, well, why don't you just go through the Panama Canal and we'll unload you in Florida? Is that a practical solution to the problems in California?
According to Governor DeSantis, it's eminently practical because many of these ships have been waiting for 3 weeks outside Los Angeles, Long Beach. As he's pointed out, the trip from Los Angeles, Long Beach to South Florida would take about 3 weeks. And so for ships that have just arrived off of the Southern California coast, according to him, it makes perfect sense to spend that time sailing to Miami, where, by the way, the whole trucking and warehousing situation, at least according to him, is much better.
Alan, is there an alternative developing? I note The Economist magazine ran a cover story, well, of a dominant story in their America section about this being an opportunity for Latin American economies to participate in a supply chain, building the infrastructure. They need roads, they need railroads, they need ports. Is that a practical solution if they get with it?
It's a very practical solution. However, it's going to require much more than roads and ports and various other infrastructure building, which is really needed, by the way, throughout the whole, throughout all of Latin America. But it's also going to require a U.S. trade policy that gives very strong preferential treatment to imports coming in from Latin America, whether it be Mexico or Central America or even South America. Those products have to get major tariff preferences over goods coming in from China and the rest of East Asia. Because if that's not the case, the Chinese and other East Asian suppliers are going to do whatever it takes to undercut them price-wise once the global economy returns to some semblance of normality.
Gordon?
So, Alan, what we have is a free trade agreement called CAFTA. With the region. And normally it talks about zero tariffs. What exactly would you think would need to be done to encourage manufacturing to locate to Central America, for instance? What would we have to do in terms of specifically to change our trade policy to the region?
We have 30 seconds, Alan.
We'd have to turn both CAFTA and NAFTA and its latter-day successor into a genuine trade bloc, where, again, we actively provide preferences for products coming in from those countries over products coming in from East Asia. American trade has to become more regionalized and more focused on the Western Hemisphere.
Alan Tomlinson, our manufacturing and supply chain guru. He blogs at Reality Check. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.